Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all, 7 Rounds and Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans, part of the Armchair Media Network. We are cornering the market on offensive linemen from the Midwest. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the Maction Maniac. That's what they call me back east. And with me, as always, is AJ Buffalo Bill Marchese.
That's what they call me. I worked in that road show, wherever the fuck that was originally.
I don't know what you're talking about. The Antiques Roadshow?
Yep, the Antiques Roadshow. That's what the Bills are named after. Some like old school roadshow. I don't know. Who cares? Let's move on.
I thought Buffalo Bill was a serial killer.
In The Silence of the Lambs, that's correct.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. Good start. Today,
it puts a lotion on its skin, yep.
What? Today, we're continuing our summer scouting series with a group of 5 North prospects, and we talked with Miami of Ohio All-Mac left tackle Tommy Doyle. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving up to Cleveland, maybe, looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, eh? Don't draft specialists on the second day, eh? Maybe draft a punter in the 6th. We'll see. Let's go 7 rounds. Let's go 7 rounds together. Let's go 7 rounds forever. And that's a song.
Following the senseless murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and countless other black community members at the hands of police officers, we want to ensure we do what we can to make a tangible impact on those communities as we grow. Armchair Media will be issuing $400 or $500 scholarships per semester to aspiring black creatives. If you've ever been dismissed as having an unrealistic career path, if you've ever butted heads with parents or teachers because they don't recognize exactly what you want to do with your life, if you have feared to express yourself or put your work into the world due to potential backlash, we strongly encourage you to apply. We recognize that there are creatives out there who maybe bypassed college to pursue other avenues, who didn't get into college because their passions didn't translate to collegiate testing, or who did not have access to the financial means to pay for college. This is why there are only 3 requirements for eligibility. Be a black creative, be under the age of 21, and submit a project, whether it be graphic design, photography, write, whatever your avenue may be. Submit your project to scholarship@armchairallamericans.com. That's scholarship@armchairallamericans.com. Also, there's no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back, with the NBA announcing its return, we'll see how that goes, in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer, what we call the Big Four up here in Canada, have all resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds / lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. AJ loves the props.
Love them.
Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Let me die and prop me up, Rob.
That's what it will read on your tombstone.
Yep.
Okay. Last week, we did non-FBS prospects. Now we're into the FBS. The best of the best. Kind of, maybe. We're starting with... We've divided the group of 5 but it's really the group of 4.5, which is because Power Six, right, AJ?
Amen, brother.
The AAC forever in the Power Six. So we've split up the G5 with the MAC, the Mountain West, the Sun Belt, the CUSA, and the independents that aren't Notre Dame. So today we're talking G5 North, which to us is the MAC, the Mountain West, feet BYU, UMass, and Army. Sick. Go Army, beat Navy.
Go Army, beat Navy.
Go UMass, beat Boston College.
Do they even play them anymore?
That feels like an old basketball rivalry.
It does. UMass, weirdest schedule, or one of them at least.
UMass playing Liberty twice again or whatever they had to do that last year? I love
UMass
that.
UMass and UConn should just play each other every game this year.
UMass, UConn, Liberty should start their own conference.
Yeah, it's sick. Anyways, podcast, let's go.
Fine. If we must. Well, I'll save it for the next year's off-season realignment show. okay, yeah. So G5 North, MAC, Mountain West, and whoever else we feel. There's some legitimate prospects in here, especially on offense a little bit.
No, yeah, I found more offensive players than the defense players for sure.
Yeah, I would like. There's no, for like last week, the obviously Trey Lance was the big story, but even then, after that, a handful of other North Dakota guys, Quinn Miners, like there was a handful of legitimate, I think, Senior Bowl level prospects.
Yeah.
Or and then obviously it's Trey Lance, this group a lot more kind of day three guys who pique your interest a little bit, who if they take steps forward could potentially be maybe Senior Bowl guys.
I threw in a couple fourth round grades, but I almost felt like it because it was a bit of a slog. It was a lot of guys that we had tape for and a lot of guys that just weren't that much fun. So last week was more fun, Rob.
Well, it helps when you have a first-round quarterback prospect, too.
Very much so, yeah.
This group of quarterbacks, nobody really blew me away. Did anyone stand out specifically for you?
Not really. I mean, we got to talk the Crum, though. The Crum's my favorite.
Well, I think Zach Wilson and Dustin Crum are fun to watch.
I kind of like Drew Plitt.
Yeah, he's fine. I didn't mind. Like, I didn't give out a single. Like, none of them are draftable. But
no, I, you know what, I kind of gave Crum a borderline just because of his athleticism, and he's just so much fun to watch. He's such a good runner. So not a true draftable, but I kind of snuck it under the wire because I wanted to for the Crum.
All right, you want to talk a little Crum?
Yeah, he's first of all, he's so much fun. Came out of nowhere last year. He's such a good runner. Like
weirdly good.
Yeah, like, he runs hard, his contact balance is legit.
He's Eric Dungy.
He breaks tackles. Yeah, he's Eric Dungy. And he's so hard to get down. And then, I don't know, as a passer, there's some tools there. Like, his short accuracy is not bad. He can't throw deep too much, but, like, he'll hit the odd nice ball. But he uses the mobility in the pocket pretty nice. Like, it's not like he's always just looking to scramble either. And he just turns a lot of sacks into first downs, which I appreciate.
Yeah, no, he's I think the best MAC quarterback.
Agreed. Yeah.
To me, there's the running is obviously kind of his trump card, especially in the MAC. I don't think he's very mechanically sound. No. There are flashes of kind of nice ball placement throws.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be a really good senior MAC quarterback, but yeah, to me, UDFA type guy, camp guy, but not really anything more than that. I thought Zach Wilson was really entertaining, and I think because he's so much younger than the rest of these quarterbacks in this group, only going into his true junior season, you could really see him take a leap, especially because BYU is just such a steady program.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy, he's an entertaining quarterback. I think he's got that kind of that escapability. He'll make some kind of splashy plays. He plays a bit of that backyard style. Obviously,
yeah, lots of interceptions.
Yeah, I was about to say. Obviously, the big concern is poor decision making. He almost plays like there's no consequences.
Pretty much, yeah. Like his, like I don't know. Like you said, there's flashes. Like you see some big time downfield throws, but he's just so inconsistent. Like his accuracy is so sporadic.
And that's why again, true sophomore. The rest of these guys are like redshirt seniors. So I think if he could take, I mean, you give him two more years, you could potentially see him going somewhere just because, at the athletic tools and such. But
I wouldn't bet on it. But I
no.
understand.
I actually think the safest quarterback in the group is probably, to me, Patrick O'Brien. I just think it, not because I'm like banging the table for him, but I just 6'5", 240.
Tools are there.
Mechanically sound. Like the NFL is just going to give him a chance is kind of what I'm saying. Whether Sean Mannion.
Like, he's not very good. I'm not a fan over here.
Well, I don't know. Sean Mannion was going to be a starter. Remember that?
I do remember that.
And I mean, here we are. But
just sticking the mat. Oh, you got more on Patrick O'Brien?
Sorry. Yeah, give me 15 on him, please. No, go ahead.
No, just jump into probably the last guy I want to talk about. Plitt's not bad, especially in the MAC. First of all, he caught one of his own passes, which always endears me to a quarterback. I can't help it.
Plus the Ball State bump.
The Ball State bump, yeah. Going back to Nate Davis.
Yeah.
Big shout out.
King.
I don't know. There's a little bit there. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the MAC.
No, I think he's the second best quarterback in the MAC.
Maybe. I agree. Hey, maybe. But Gabbert.
I know. Gabbert is interesting.
He's the second best draftable quarterback in the MAC.
Yes. The second best senior quarterback. Let's just even narrow it down a little more.
There you go.
Just to ensure we're correct. Yeah, no, I thought good feet, smart. Yep. Kind of
another guy spun the ball pretty well. Some nicer big time throws.
My overall worry was kind of the inconsistency with the downfield. I didn't think he drove the ball that well. Hard for him to rip it into tight windows. But you could see him maybe kind of catching on being in the playing in the preseason.
Yeah, no, something like that. Like maybe he gets to the PA Bowl. I don't think that's outlandish.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
You see Crum as maybe an East West Shrine guy?
Yeah, sure.
Honestly, as we get down to it, there isn't that many senior quarterbacks. But I feel like that most years. So who knows?
Yeah, we always get guys pop up.
And just one note on Nick Starkle. He's played for two SEC programs, so pretty cool.
And now a Mountain West program, baby.
Pretty cool. I swear, 3 years ago, when him and Kellen Mond were kind of still competing for that TAMU starting job, there was some Nick Starkle hype, and it really
he was so bad last year.
Oh, but Arkansas was so fun. They had him going in, Ben Hicks coming in, both transfers. And a third guy coming in, too. They're just rotating.
We had high hopes for Ben Hicks last year. We'll come clean.
We just were because that SMU connection with Chad Morris.
Exactly.
It seemed like it was going to be cool, but it wasn't. Chad Morris got fired, so here we are. On to the running backs. Jarrett Patterson. I think that's a dude.
How good is he to you, Rob?
I think, obviously, last year he was just a true sophomore. I think he's going to take a big step this year.
Yeah, and that's coming off 1,800 yards and 19 touchdowns.
Yeah, and I mean, statistically, it might not be a massive step or anything, but in terms of, I'm ready to see him play with, just some, if I'm looking for not, I'd like to see more consistent vision out of him, but...
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of fellow Buffalo current running back in the state of New York, in the city of Buffalo, Devin Singletary. That took a lot to get there. Just in terms of his contact balance, he plays a lot, runs a lot bigger than he is, runs really hard, has really clean footwork that helps with that contact balance. Short area quickness is there. Maybe not the biggest burst in the world.
No.
But it's the short area quickness that really kind of... is what I'm looking for in his running style, just slashing away.
Yeah, he's a slasher for sure. This is kind of... Yeah, I do too. I put a fourth round grade on him. I think he's in that area for the draft next year if he comes out, which probably will. It's a bit of a cliche, but he's kind of one of those guys that gets better as the game goes on.
Like, yeah, like a, he wears you down. Kinda,
which is weird because, like you said, not the biggest, but he's like really well built for his size.
But
like,
sorry.
That's like Singletary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Remember how small... Didn't Singletary come in at like 5'7 at the combine?
And a quarter or something?
Yeah, and like then ran poorly, and look at him now, so...
Yeah, so like I totally agree with everything you said, and then just adding on, like he runs so hard, like he ends a lot of collisions with the other guys on the ground. He's one of the guys that always fall forward, which I always appreciate, especially mm-hmm. when it's not just some big lumbering back that falls forward because he's 6'2", 230 or whatever.
Oh, that felt like a shot at Siwoo from TCU last year. Wow,
come on. Honestly, his name shot across my mind as I said that. he's the best offensive player in the MAC to me. Yeah, I know we do that later, but we might as well get that out now. I like him a lot, but I do kind of feel like when I first threw him on, it's like, I'm like, okay, he's good, but is he like, you know, a day two guy? And then the more and more you kind of watch him, the more you appreciate him. And like you said, like, needs to work on the vision, but I found like his second level vision, once he gets past the D-line, that works really
that open,
well.
Yeah,
really,
that open field vision.
Yeah, but it's like, it's open field, but it's also like when there's still traffic at the second level, he just negotiates it so well, and just a really good feel for the game. I like him a lot.
And I think you expect a guy who runs for 1,800 yards as a true sophomore to, like, the nuances of his game will get better in, as a true junior. Like, again, the vision. I'd like to see him maybe make guys miss a little more consistently.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause fair enough.
Just because as a smaller back, although he plays much bigger than he is, like that contact balance I wouldn't assume would fully translate the same way in the NFL. Like you're going to have to make somebody miss in the hole with a little bit of wiggle. I want to see a little bit more of that from him. I just also want to see him do more on passing downs.
Yeah, I think he only had like 13 catches last year, so expanding that in the passing game would be huge. But it's so impressive they had almost 1,800 yards exactly. And then they had another 1,000-yard back in Marks too.
Yeah.
It was not bad either. Like, a good Mac back for sure.
No, Leopold really kind of turned that thing around quick in Buffalo.
Yeah, like, for real. Very impressive. Any other draftable backs for you?
So, I there wasn't a cut game tape cut for this guy, but I realized, like, this is a guy I should get some eyes on, so I did some work and watched... Just a cut that had him. Dazavian Valade, the running back from Wyoming.
What'd you think?
He's interesting.
And like, did you do a legit eval on him, or is it just you don't count it because there's no real tape?
Well, no, I used offensive line tape.
Okay, so what did you give him?
I think he's right with Jared Patterson.
Okay, fuck. All right,
let's go. It's funny. He's kind of thin. He's 6 foot 196. Like,
okay.
And he looks like he could put at least 10, 15 pounds on his frame. Mm-hmm. But he runs with really, really consistent contact balance. He breaks arm tackles. He's got some burst to rip off. Like, he'll a couple times against San Diego State. He hits the hole hard. He breaks a linebacker's arm tackle and gashes for, I don't know, extra 10, 15, just burning the safety to the sideline. He's good short area quickness. Again, I want to see him, similar to Jared Patterson, run with more consistent vision. He's kind of the one-cut type dude. I also, because he isn't the... he's not going to run through anybody. I want to see a little more elusiveness in his game. He's a lot like Patterson in terms of his game's built around the contact balance and in the short area quickness.
Do they just feed him that offense too? Don't they?
They were using the other running back a lot too.
Interesting. They should be pretty good this year.
He's definitely a candidate for Mountain West Offense Player of the Year. I would guess. The Mountain West after Boise State's very, very like open this year.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I don't want to spoil, but yeah, Boise's kind of the cream of the crop. But even them, they feel a little more susceptible than usual.
I think it's going to depend so much on if Hank...
Bachmeier.
I was going to say Brockmeyer.
I know.
Thanks. Bachmeier kind of stays healthy and takes that step, but
Hank Azaria, Brockmeyer, Bachmeier.
Go ahead. No, you go.
No, I was just gonna say the Mac West is wide open too. Like,
yeah,
that feels like one of the most hotly contested divisions in the whole FBS.
I think the Mac East is between two people, but the Mac West is completely open.
See, the Mac East, the top of the Mac East is better than the Mac West, but it's just so wide open there. Do you get another running back you want to talk about?
I kind of like Bowling Green running back Andrew Clair.
He was my next guy. No, not a draftable grade, but me almost. Either. He's interesting.
Yeah. And
he missed, a lot of 2019, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Got a red shirt. He's, 5'10", 200?
Yeah.
He runs... Runs really low, some legit contact balance.
Contact balance, gets a little bit of vision, some quickness.
A little jittery, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's just, again, not a draftable guy, but certainly a guy to watch. Anyone else in the running back group? You want to jump to receivers?
No, let's jump to receivers, which I think was kind of the cream of the crop.
Yeah, this is the best position group we have by far, I think.
Agreed, yeah. Who's your top guy?
Trey Walker. I'm obsessed with him. This is I messaged you earlier in the week, said I kind of gave out a bigger grade on one guy. This is him.
I didn't know who it was when you said that because I haven't watched Walker yet. But literally from the first snap, Walker kind of blows you away. I don't know if I'm blinded by him, it's just his big play, but I also have a big grade on him, and I got a weird comp that I'll maybe tell you off show. But
I've got a comp too. This is so fun.
Who's your comp?
You know what? You never expect to watch a San Jose State receiver and be like, "This is a dude," and get all excited. But that, I guess, that's what happened.
Yeah, but big drop off in quarterback play this year. Josh Love underrated last year. That's my big take.
No, Nick Starkle's gonna live up to it. Come on.
Okay, so who's your comp for Trey Walker? He's, by the way, 5'11", 180.
This isn't like
fucking. He's so exciting.
He plays way bigger than that, doesn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, this isn't like a spot-on comp, but it just kind of made me think of him. Maybe it's because we're watching Mac guys, too. A little bit of Deontay Johnson.
Interesting, okay. I'll tell you mine, kind of the same body type. I put shades of Anthony Miller.
Oh!
It was one of my favorites, as
we
know.
Yeah, you loved Anthony Miller.
Just kind of the same vibe of just constantly making these ridiculous catches.
Yeah, so strong through traffic for a smaller dude.
Yeah, Miller's more closer to 200 pounds, but he skipped the combine, probably not. I don't think either of them are the fastest guys.
Anthony Miller had incredible footwork, though.
He did. Yeah, I don't think Walker's the same.
That's kind of this is the season now. This year you want to see him make a huge leap in terms of his route running, because I think so much of the rest of his game's already there.
We'll do a cut of all this fucking highlight reel catches, because it's silly, man. Just the ability to get up constantly, catch the ball in traffic, insane body control catches, insane one-handed catches.
Incredible hands, incredible body control, really strong through contact despite not being the biggest guy. His catch radius seems so much bigger than it should be for a 5'11", if he's even 5'11", receiver.
Yeah. Again, and then he's not the fastest guy either. I don't think he's slow, but he's not a burner or anything.
No. I wasn't watching him thinking this guy's running sub 4.4 or anything. He's probably a 4.5s guy.
And I don't know how to articulate this, but I don't think he's the crispest route runner, but he's really savvy.
Yeah, and I think that translates to his release.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
He wins at the line of scrimmage because he's nuanced in his release game. He's got a repertoire there. He understands what he's doing and can beat press coverage just off the line with his release. And that's kind of, you hope to see that translate to the rest of his route running this year.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then there's some flashes of that big boom or bust kind of yak. Took a couple plays, huge. And that almost felt not winning with athleticism, just vision and... I don't know, grit, if I want to use it like that. I don't know. Love his...
He's a guy
go ahead.
I hope ends up at the Senior Bowl so bad. He's... Of this group, he was the most pleasant surprise. Didn't know much about him.
Me neither.
Knew he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year, but didn't really know more than that, and then just blown away.
Yeah. What grade did you give him?
Oh, fuck.
I give him a fourth as well. That Patterson and Walker are my two highest.
I give him a fifth.
Right. Okay. I he's so much fun.
He's my highest graded guy from this.
Okay. Yes.
By at least a round. the rest of the receivers still pretty fun too, eh?
Yeah. No. Definitely.
Who's your second guy?
Elijah Cooks.
Okay. Cool. No, I think there's, for me, after Walker, the next three guys are all kind of close. But let's talk a little Cooks. Cooks plays like the basketball player that he is.
Yeah, definitely. Like 6'4", 215. You love the body size. And like,
yeah, I swear to God, he's bigger than 6'4", 215.
Totally. Because like, you see so many of these guys are like, you know, 6'3", 6'4", the list, and around that weight. And they look thin.
Like, but Cooks looks like
power forward.
No, he looks like an NBA wing.
Yeah. Like, power forwards play wing. You don't know that.
And he spent a year on the Nevada basketball team, and like that he plays above the rim on the football field. Like, what he does well is win 50-50 balls. You trust his hands, pretty good athlete, makes plays through traffic, and it's just kind of like he's raw, but you see the vision.
Definitely. Like you said, raw, like he just wasn't asked to run a lot of routes. It's a lot of just comebacks, goes, and crossing routes.
He should have a huge year though, eh?
I definitely think so. Like, he had almost 1,000 yards last year, 8 touchdowns. Carson Strong, gonna keep getting better. Keep your eyes out for him. I actually do like Carson Strong. But anyways, yeah, like you said, just plays above the rim, man. Like, he goes up and plucks it. Crazy contested catches. And he's got enough, like obviously the speed when you're that size is going to be a bit of a question. But, like, he's got enough juice to win deep in the Mountain West, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your second?
I like Jared Smart.
All right. I give him a draftable.
I mean, I just fall for Hawaii receivers in the run and shoot.
Okay, that was my... See, I almost thought that, too, because I gave him a draftable grade. And I'm like, it's just because I always give a fucking Hawaii receiver a draftable grade in the summer. It's like in my tradition, so... But okay, I'm glad we both agree.
He also looks cool as hell, number 23, not gonna lie.
it works, I know.
I'm excited to see, because obviously Rolo's gone to Washington State. Yep. New quarterback in the build, or well, I guess not really, because Cole McDonald got benched so much last year. But more of a pro style attack, I'll say. So see what kind of route tree. My takeaway was he's like, I know it's the run and shoot, but he was a pretty good route runner with what he's
definitely
working with within that offense in terms of routes.
Yep.
I thought he had the athleticism to consistently win deep a little bit. And he made some yak plays. I mean, the worry is he can get bullied at the line of scrimmage. He's not going to win through traffic. He's not, like, he's the opposite of Elijah Cooks almost in that way. But, no, I just thought, like, potential slot option type guy, I was interested in him.
No, like you said, really, really solid route runner, especially for that offense. Like, lots of, like, his hands just look really clean, not too many drops at all. I thought he was a little more quicker than fast, but I also appreciate his yak. Like, he's tough after the catch. Like, he likes to drop his shoulder.
Yeah, he's Devon Bass.
Yeah, he is. Does a lot of damage. I gave him a draftable. It's really interesting.
Did you give Warren Jackson a draftable?
I did, and I had a seventh last year, and I moved him up, like, half a round.
He's, like, just reminds me of Preston Williams again.
Pretty much. 6'6", 219.
I think he's a little bit almost overhyped because he's so tall. Like, people have known who he is for a while. Like,
yeah.
I've seen some hot takes about how good he is.
Yeah, I remember them.
Big catch radius, solid hands, good athlete for his size. He makes a lot of splash plays. You want to see more consistency through his game.
Yeah,
the route running is a question for me. I don't think he does a ton after the catch either.
No, he doesn't. You mentioned his catch radius, which, yeah, it is impressive. But, like, I don't know if it was just poor quarterback play. Well, sorry, it was poor quarterback play.
Hey, come on. That's my guy.
What's his name? I forgot.
P.O.B. Patrick O'Brien.
Oh, fuck. I was thinking, what was the quarterback 2 years ago? I don't know why that crossed my mind.
KJ Carter Samuels?
Thank you.
For who had the worst throwing motion in the history of...
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm a big KJ Carter Samuels guy. Remember when he... Who did they play? This is way off topic. I think week zero, not this past year, the year before.
And he like Hawaii?
Was it Hawaii? And he threw... Him and Cole McDonald both threw for like 500 yards?
I think it was.
Yeah. And that's when the Cole McDonald hype kind of started?
Yeah. POB... Missing a lot of throws, but like, it feels like they're because he's so goddamn long, he can go and get them, but he doesn't make the effort sometimes. That's a weird thing to call.
Preston Williams,
exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, he's interesting, and at that size, I just think it's gonna be hard for him not to get drafted. But no hot takes here. I got him at like solidly in the third day.
Colorado State loaded, got neat Craig Myers, the Auburn transfer too.
He's not bad.
No, he's a guy I would bring into training camp.
Yeah, no, no draftable for me either. But like, that's a really good duo.
Yeah, a trio of POB throwing the ball.
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't really like Rico Bussy. He's got hype though. I don't know. I thought, I don't know. He's just kind of a one trick pony, deep guy, and if that doesn't work, that's kind of it. And I think Jared Smart's a much more nuanced receiver. Like, I don't know. I think Jared Smart's a good guy at Hawaii.
Yeah, plus, like, coming off the torn ACL kind of hurts him, too.
No Mason Fine.
He got kind of bodied by press. But, like, I kind of felt the same way I did. Yeah, he is. I kind of, like, I do like him, just not draftable.
Unless he runs a 4.2.
Yeah, which I don't see that
fast. No. Did you like tight ends much? Matt Bushman, thoughts?
Okay,
so... The Bushman.
Last year...
He's like 30.
I think he's old. I had a late draftable on him last year, and now I have a borderline draftable. I kind of soured on the Bushman a bit. But he's getting, like, hype. I don't know. Now, the more I watch him, like... Well, first of all, I think he's 25 at least.
Dennis Pitta was, like, 30.
That's true. The more I watch him, just, like, the worst athlete I think he is.
We call that the Jacob Breland effect.
And like, okay, so he's always been like a really willing blocker and a little mean, but he just didn't clean up his technique from last year.
He's also not that big.
No, he's listed, 6'5", 240, maybe that weight, but 6'4".
He's almost more of an H-back type in my eyes, where he's a lot of his touches are coming, kind of off play action crossers, things like that, like, and just like
his hands off. Are good.
Yeah, though. He's definitely got good hands. I don't think he's a great athlete. He doesn't do a ton after the catch, but he's good through traffic. Good catch radius, can win 50-50 balls. I just think he's not a good enough athlete or a good enough blocker technique wise to really move the needle past being a late day three guy right now for me.
I feel exactly the same. You know what it is? I think like. Just because he does line up in the slot and out wide, it feels like people just slapping that he's an athlete on him. But if you watch him, he's not really.
I stick the Dennis Pitta pro comp on him all day, though.
Did you like Trey McBride?
I like that. Like he's a fullback playing tight end.
I think it could be an interesting fullback.
He's only a true junior, so like I don't think there's. Hey, Colorado State's loaded.
He's a good blocker.
Yeah, no, he's a really good effort blocker. I think he's a fullback. And I don't think he's coming out, so we'll next year we'll do the show talk about him as fullback one.
It's gonna happen. Remember this for next year.
Yeah.
Offensive line.
Okay. A lot of them, I kind of like Tommy Doyle. I gave the biggest grade to, not because I talked to him.
I only gave him the biggest grade. No, he's my only draftable guy.
Yeah, full disclosure again, watched him before I talked to him, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the combination of the size, the physicality, and that translates to the run game, I think that's what stood out most. He consistently he climbs well onto linebackers.
He just fucking moves people in the run.
Yeah, it's a lot like Quinn and Miners, but for this group, I only talk to offensive linemen who move people in the run game.
6'8", 326.
He's massive.
He's huge. Like it's not like he's one of those tall guys that are a little thin and long. He's got a big old frame, and like he uses this size like really well in pass pro. Some work to clean up there, especially the feet in pass pro. But again, the size helps him a lot.
Play both tackle spots too, which I mean that's just yeah. a bonus.
What do you think he's a right tackle in the NFL?
I mean, I try not to. They should, in our minds, be equally as important. But I mean, if you're talking like looking at the old school way, yeah, you it's like a Doug Free style right tackle, I guess. Massive physical run blocker,
powerful upper body, like Miners too. Like
carries his weight well too, because he does not look like he has 330 pounds on him.
No, it's because he's so like. Block. He's like a big block. Like he's well built.
Yeah.
But yeah, I give him the only draftable grade. I give him like a fourth, fifth round grade.
Yeah. I think he's a Senior Bowl esque guy.
I think so too. Like he just. I love the way he moves. I think he's gonna get better in pass.
After Jared Patterson, he's my highest graded player in the MAC.
Mine too. No, mine too. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got one guy on defense I actually liked. Secretly.
Yeah, me too. And then the Mac kind of falls off.
Yeah.
there's only one guy on defense I like in the Mac, and that's it.
The rest of this offensive tackle group after Doyle, I didn't. Nobody really caught my eye.
No.
Especially because I started all. With Doyle, and then.
Yeah, sometimes that's I just like to pick randomly sometimes, yeah. So I don't. Like, not knowing who's already the good players. Yeah, I don't. Do you just want to see who your second guy is for fun?
For the tackles, I got Western Michigan's Jalen Moore.
I see. I think he's such a guard.
Though. Yeah, he is.
he's interesting as a guard. Like he's got a total guard's body, and I think moving in there will be kind of big. I didn't hate Christensen from BYU, but not even close to a draftable. Sorry, Brady. Yeah, let's move on to the interior.
I liked three guys a little bit.
Okay.
I liked BYU center James Empey.
I think he's the best of the bunch.
That's my number one guy. I kind of like the Air Force guard Nolan Laufenberg.
Oh, wait. I totally lied. I have a draftable in Laufenberg.
My issue is I never know. Like, it's so hard to evaluate, like, correctly evaluate a triple option offensive lineman. But he moves people in the run game, man.
Okay.
And
yeah,
that was against Washington State.
Yeah,
and he's physical. It's just like I guess the big thing is he moves really well. He's really physical. Mm-hmm. He finishes through the whistle, but there's like not a super lot of technique with this game.
No, okay,
he's pretty all over the place. And then you get into pass protection, and it's like three reps a game, and it's just upper body fight. Kind of, there's not a lot of footwork. Not great bend, things like that. And his anchor is a worry, too.
Yeah. You know what? I saw the positives in the past game. Like, his eyes look kind of good. Picked up some blitzes. So I saw some things to build on. But definitely the run is where he's making his living. I think it's because I was in the middle of just watching
all Oh, my God. Cam Newton just signed with the Patriots. I'm sorry.
Holy fuck. Are you serious?
Yeah. Incentive-laden deal.
Whoa.
Breaking news. A day later, and you already know, listener. Sorry. Back to Air Force offensive line play.
Cam, no thanks. Let's talk Nolan Laufenberg. Who will one day win MVP? You heard it here first. But yeah, he just fucking blows people off the line. Like, he's coming off the line so fast. Just drives people. Plays with nice leverage. But like you said, just not very refined. He's a bit of a bull in a china shop, which is a weird term to use for an offensive lineman, but like, it's like his head is just down. He's mowing guys. He ends up on the ground a lot. But yeah, he's definitely annoying to watch because you just don't see a lot of pass pro and lots of cut blocks. But like you said, moves well. So I think there's something there to build on. And he's my only draftable. But my next guy is the BYU center, Empe.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of a grinder in the run game, which I appreciated. Also, only a redshirt junior. Moved well, like,
yeah,
for a center, I don't know, maybe it's bias. I don't think a lot of centers in college football move all that well. Physical guy, I don't know. I think run game, a lot of these guys are much better than run than pass, and that's kind of where you can kind of separate yourself, is if you're competent at least in pass protection.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, he needs to get stronger with his anchor and just play with better leverage in pass protection. But
he's big for a center too. He's listed 6'4".
Yeah, no, he's a guy who, like, I would make a note of, especially because he's only a redshirt junior.
Yeah, no, I agree. Other than that, nothing really impressed me. City Sal from Eastern Michigan. He's Canadian, baby. Shout out.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's from Quebec.
Quebec. He looks like a CFL pro. He'll probably be a first round CFL.
He was my third interior guy.
Okay, he's a little lower.
For he's a redshirt junior, and he's massive.
Yeah, he's big. Like, that, definitely, he's gonna be a top five CFL pick a lot.
He's gonna be a CFL Hall of Famer. So you're is he your number one guy on your CFL board right now?
Yes.
Did you like any of these other interior offensive linemen?
No, not worth talking about. Sorry, buddy. How about you?
Bryce Harris feels like he's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah, I've been on the Remington watch list a few times. Like, he's
a few times.
I think he has. He's not bad. He's gonna be really good for Toledo this year. Got hurt last year, of course, but I mean, yeah, I like him. Just not too draftable. He could have a good year, though.
Yeah. You okay? Sounds like he's your number one.
I don't
center.
Know.
A lot of Bryce Harris talk.
Yeah. Let's. You want to do another 5 minutes?
Well, I mean, could we? Can I, give me? I need five more on Patrick O'Brien.
Fuck! I don't like Patrick O'Brien.
Hey, AJ. What's up? We're talking Mac this year.
We are.
This show. Every year. Let's say it's a Tuesday in November.
Okay.
Where are you going to go? BetOnline.ag?
Yeah, of course. To get that matching going, baby?
Yeah. I know you. Well, you're specific. You love totals and matching. You don't touch the line, though.
Okay, so it's always fucking windy or raining on those Tuesday nights in November. You got to feel those out, man. You got to know the kickers. Sam Sloman was a weapon.
Always take the over on Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, that's exactly. Tommy Doyle would just be moving people. There's money to be made there, especially at betonline.ag.
Hell yeah. And if you do like betting lines, you can do that too. But it's like maybe AJ only bets lines in the Mountain West, so.
It's true. That's what they say. Lines in the Mountain West and totals in the MAC.
10 p.m. Eastern on a Saturday night, AJ's blackout drunk betting Mountain West games.
Honestly, that's where I love the Mountain. Like, I watched a lot of late night Mountain West last year.
It's the best.
It was a lot in Nevada. That's why I love Elijah Cooks and Carson Strong.
Well, it's kind of like the we love Pac-12 at After Dark. Anything that's kind of got a gimmick, well, not a gimmick, because it's not, it's more than a gimmick to us, but.
Fucking, that should be their slogan, by the way.
Like, I love Pac-12 After Dark's my favorite thing in the world. I love the Pac-12, and I don't know why. It's kind of, once we lost the real Big East Thursday night games, like, because they wrecked the Big East.
I know, fuck, don't even talk about it. And it's also because, like, the Pac-12 is always wacky. There's upsets. Yeah. And there's always good quarterback play, so it's fun.
Yeah, I hate the SEC. It's, like, real football. I want weirdness.
It's boring.
Yeah.
It's boring. Who wants to watch your game at 3:30?
Ugh.
Garbage.
Yeah, give me... At least it's got... Either it's got to be noon, or it's going to be stupid late.
Because we're two rules. And then the SEC games go until 8 o'clock. Ugh. Like, what is this?
Ugh. Anyway, go to betonline.ag. Ah, jeez, Rick. Oh, man. Those are my screams that I used to make when I would cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Thank you, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks into multiple peaks. One time, that's a Rob Paul original.
When did you peak, Rob?
I haven't peaked yet. I'm still trying to get there.
What? When he got Manscaped?
No.
Manscaped, it's going to make you peak, baby.
Talking about cutting your balls, it says. Well, sadly, I've done it many times.
I swear to God, I did it like last time we had the ad read. And I was like, okay, this is perfect.
Now I'm just doing it on purpose. Yeah. The worst part is when you do nick and you like, there's like that, like, I don't know, 3 seconds and it looks like you're not going to bleed and then you do.
I assumed I was going to bleed out, but I wasn't using Manscaped, so that was the issue.
I used to not shave my balls out of fear, but now that I've got a Manscaped, I shave my balls every day.
I respect that.
So, men, start taking notes, because Manscaped's accidents are finally a thing of the past. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience, and they spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. Yeah, it takes me at least 65 minutes, and most razors don't last that long. The water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, too.
It's true.
Especially when you're trying to get to those hard-to-reach places and you need to be wet for that. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They've even included pics so I could see the smoothest for myself. And they aren't kidding. Yeah, I'm just getting a lot of balls pics sent to me. Okay. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code armchair. Your balls will thank you. I'm just going to keep reading this over and over. I'm in a time loop.
Until the Tommy Doyle interview.
Yeah.
Just play it in. You know what's great about the Manscaped? You can get it wet. It's not slippery. And my favorite Bon Jovi album is Slippery When Wet. And that's what we're talking about in the second half of the show.
Is I can't do this. Anyway, defensive players.
Hold on, quick. Better name for an album, Slippery When Wet or Blood Sugar Sex Magic?
Blood Sugar Sex Magic. Do you actually think that that's like a real question?
We're big Bon Jovi fans, I thought. I thought that was the bit.
Oh, sorry. Secretly. My bad. We are. I actually have a... Wait, no. I don't. He's not from
Buffalo. Let's move on. This is stuck.
Yeah. Defensive line prospects. I got a guy here. I got two guys.
We both have a guy here.
I got two guys on defense in general.
There's one on the defensive line. I got some draftables. I think I was just handing out draftables to linebackers for the fun of it.
Yeah, I got stuck in that a little bit, I think.
They're all seventh rounders, so it doesn't really count. But
anyways, just, yeah. All you have to say is when you're like, oh yeah, special teams linebacker, and it's fine.
Okay, well, there's a couple good special teams linebackers. Okay, interior defense line, for me, clear-cut guy is Dom Peterson.
Dom Peterson's fun as hell.
He's fun as fuck. First of all, he plays like 5-tech and edge instead of the interior, really.
He's built so short and stocky. I love it.
Yeah, but he's 6'5", 6'5", wow, 6 foot, 295. He plays with a lot of energy, man. He's got a hell of a motor. Like, he's got a good get-off. He shows that legit in-between-the-tackle quickness. Plays with nice leverage. He's thick, but like...
Only Richard Jr., too.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of slippery, he is slippery on the inside. He uses his hands well. He's got a nifty swim move. I like him a lot, man. I think he's like a... Like right now, I like him as a potential like early day three guy. Well, mid-day three guy, sorry.
Well, I mean, again, that was just his redshirt sophomore year. He dominated the
Mountain West. 9 sacks, yeah. Yeah.
He's a guy who I could see taking a really big leap.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, yeah, I like the versatility. Like, I think he's a... His best spot would be as a one-gap penetrating 3-tech, and meanwhile he's playing 5-tech and edge.
Yeah, and he's, like, getting sacks coming around the edge, like against Purdue. Like, got around the right tackle, stripped the QB, like he's 6'2", 95. Like, he's a 3-tech playing out there. It's, like, it's pretty awesome. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no. I didn't mind Tonga. I don't have a draftable, but I could see him kind of getting there as a nose tackle, just... Day three nose type, ton of size, ton of power. It's obviously the overall athleticism.
Yeah, I gave him a late seventh, actually. Like, you know what's interesting, though? I swear he was listed like 340 last year or 2 years ago and then 321 last year or this year, whatever. It's like, but the fun thing with him is he flashes some of the pass routes and then sometimes he just, yeah, lots of power. Sometimes he just disappears.
No, I think there's just, there's always going to be a role for that true nose kind of bit player, rotational bit player, the Danny Shelton, what he does now. Just don't take that in the first round. Take it in the late day threes.
Exactly. So like that, and I think he's going to – like, there's stuff to improve there too, yeah. So I like him.
But, no, Dom Pierson's kind of the – I think the most interesting and best defensive prospect that we're covering today, for sure.
Yeah, I have another guy that I like, but I do have Peterson above him.
My is your guy in the edge group?
Yeah, it's okay.
So is it Malcolm Kuntz?
Yeah. It's Malcolm Kuntz from Buffalo. It's really now, interesting.
Is it just because we're seeing a guy who's about the same size Khalil Mack was at Buffalo wearing a number in the 50s?
Oh.
No, but seriously, he against Penn State, he showed up, eh?
Yeah, he did.
Like, he's got a pass rush repertoire. He plays with really great leverage. Like, good athlete.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in him.
Yeah, he's like you said, he's a good athlete. He's got agility. Like, he just sometimes he wins with his quicks. And, like, against Penn State, 6'3", 250, but feels, like, longer than that, which I like. Little Ben, like you said, nice pass rush repertoire. Like, he's got a nice one arm stab, gets under pads, drives.
Yeah, I love the long arm move he was pulling.
Yeah, he's got a nice little rip move. His hands are quick. Like a lot to like there, and I think there's I think he's a middle day three guy right now for me. And the one thing for him is I think he's just got to need to improve his like play strength against the run.
Yeah, he's a little smaller as a stand-up edge, 245. He can kind of get washed in the run game. That's, I think, the biggest worry. He needs to play more power at the point. But overall, you at least see a guy who can add some situational pass rush.
Yeah, and again, it's not like he's a complete disaster in the run. Like he can make some plays with his quickness. But yeah, definitely just needs to get stronger at the point.
I think he's a guy who could have a massive year in the MAC.
Yeah, he kind of gave me like Highsmith vibes from last year.
Yeah,
like group of five.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah.
Did you like any of the other edges?
Not really. No one draftable to me.
Me neither. I think Scott Patchen's just kind of interesting with all the size. He's coming from Miami to Colorado State.
Yeah, that's fair. I saw your tweet about him. I don't think I like him as much as you do. But yeah, he's what, 6'6"?
Yeah, he's like 6'6", 260. I don't have a draftable grade or anything. I've got a training camp grade, but I just that size. He plays pretty good leverage despite the size and some pop in his hands. And I think dropping down to Colorado State, you might see a
especially because like he's got a hell of a motor and just a big time effort player.
Yeah, Colorado State,
and like you said, some flashes there with him. Sorry, what'd you say?
Colorado State just packed with talent.
are you leading this up to calling a Colorado State Vic championship in the Mountain West? Maybe. Is that what we're doing right now?
Yeah, maybe. I have to, right? I have to.
I think you're all in now.
I love Colorado State. No, they have, what's his, the asshole head coach from Boston College is their head coach now. I hate him.
You love him.
Why did they hire him?
I don't know.
Fuck, I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm all out on Colorado State. Scratch everything I've said.
No. I know you're like a Bobo Stan, but it's...
I am a Bobo Stan.
You're a Ram man, and we all know it now. Fuck. Linebackers, Rob. That's it. No other edges, right?
No, I don't know. The guy who drenches the Ball State's really big.
Yeah, but he doesn't look that big.
And he did not dominate while playing at Sacred Heart.
Yeah, I kind of...
Anyway,
I'm not gonna lie.
You don't have to attack him. Come on, relax.
I'm not. I'm roll Ball State. You know I'm a Ball State fan. You're the Colorado State fan.
All right. Linebackers.
Draftables for no good reason for me.
Zane Anderson's my favorite.
Okay.
Did you do him with the corners?
No, I did him as a linebacker. But we could do 20 minutes on Zane Anderson as we've done the last 2 years now.
I've seen him listed at everything from 200 flat to 230, so I don't understand what he is. Obviously, he played safety, he played linebacker, now he's apparently a corner.
Yeah, has barely played the last two seasons. I think he got hurt week one last year.
He's my king.
Played like six games the year before, I think.
The reason we, I think, initially liked him so much is because he was playing that same overhang role that Fred Warner played at BYU, which we loved about Fred Warner at BYU. Then he was doing it, and then he was poised to have a big year last year as a redshirt senior. Got hurt, got a 6-year, and then he's been working out at corner because they just don't have corners, apparently. But, I mean, he's Daniel Sorensen at the end of the day.
Yeah, he's got, I think he has the track background too. Like, you see the speed, he's good in coverage. Yeah. I have a 7th on him because of the special teams upside, baby.
Well, I mean, the combination of versatility, physicality, athleticism at his size. Yeah. If he can stay healthy, I think he's an interesting guy who's moved around a lot. And if he stays healthy this year and he's, I don't know what position he's playing, but let's assume he's back to that overhang role, like potentially maybe sniffs his way into East-West Shrine Game or Senior Bowl or something. I don't know. I love versatility. I love athleticism. Yeah. I think everyone loves both those things, so I don't know why I'm making it sound like I'm banging the table.
No, for those it's special to you. But no, like you said, if he stays healthy, I think he gets on the radar because he's a really good athlete, and we love athleticism and we love versatility. Right?
Yeah,
but no, I do think he'll get on the radar just because he's got a fun story. So
yeah. Did you like Justin Rice and Riley Wimpy?
I have draftable grades on both of them. They're both 7th round grades. Rice is my favorite, though.
Okay, I agree. I thought he moved pretty well. He misses some tackles because he's over aggressive.
He is a good move. Yeah, no, that's true. He went to Fresno as a running back. I think he moved to linebacker his second year there. And you definitely see that he's a good mover. Like, he looks pretty like natural and fluid in coverage. He's
pretty smart in coverage. I liked his coverage instincts.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's why. Kind of set him above I have him above Anderson, but
he's 6'2", 225. Looks like kind of a spit. He lines up a little bit at overhang as well.
Yeah.
Has a bit of will.
Yeah.
He kind of moves around for them. Good athlete. Moves well in coverage. Needs to clean up tackling because he's over-aggressive. Needs to get better at getting off blocks. But he's definitely a guy I would say is in the conversation right now as a late day 3 special teams linebacker.
Me too. And I think there's a little more to him than just special teams.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's interesting.
You know what else? He's an interesting blitzer too. I think he had 3 sacks last year. You see it a little bit. Had 112 tackles. Like he's got a good pedigree. I definitely think he's. See, like Zane Anderson is just a complete fucking mystery. I love him so much. So that aside, I think Justin Rice was the most interesting of the group.
Well, and then Riley Wimpy's kind of more of an old school thumper was my main takeaway with him.
He is. 6'1", 230. Where's the cowboy collar, baby? He's stocky.
Really aggressive, clean tackler. Yeah. Not the best athlete. Kind of questions about his range and his ability in coverage, but...
But who cares? He's a linebacker. Downhill thumper.
Yeah, special teams linebacker. To be a special teams linebacker, you have to check one of 2 boxes. You have to be an old school thumper, or you have to play overhang.
That's it.
Which brings us to Aaron Mosby, who plays a lot of overhang at 6'4".
Yeah, the size is interesting.
I do not have a draftable on him, but I appreciate that he's 6'4 and plays so much overhang.
Yeah, that's it. You know what's so weird? Then the rest of the linebackers are like... 6 foot, 200 pounds, and they're on athletic safeties.
Yeah. Wow, that was mean. Okay, you want to get to the defensive backs where I was extra disappointed because some of these guys are like had a little bit of hype?
Yeah, so the corners didn't impress me.
Avery Williams, my number one of the group. The Buffalo corners are really bad.
You're so mean. Interesting thing about Avery Williams, he's a really good return guy. Yeah, he had 4 in his career punt return touchdowns.
I think he's an interesting potential day 3 guy with a return man upside and ability to play nickel.
So I liked him like playing the run and as a tackler. Mm-hmm. He makes some really nice tackles.
Yeah, he's super physical.
He is, but then he's just kind of a mess in man coverage.
Yeah, he's not super fluid.
No, not at all.
He seems kind of panicky.
Yeah.
Back some instincts in coverage.
But that was kind of...
I just thought he was the most interesting of the corners.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and it's kind of a meta group.
Did you like any of the safeties?
Okay, I have 2 draftables.
Oh, I do not have any.
Okay, I saw Tariq Thompson's the one that was supposed to be the highly billed one, right?
I thought so. I don't know. And then I watched him, and I was like, maybe I just thought his name was cool. I don't know.
No, he is. I have a 7th, like a late 7. So, like, he's got 11 career INTs, so the ball skills are there.
Yeah, just like he's Luke Bancu last year from San Diego State. They are
Barku?
They're just getting free interceptions at San Diego State.
I know. He's, what, 6 foot flat, 200 pounds flat?
Yeah.
Thick frame, strong build. The interesting thing to me is that, like, he lined up, like, over the slot a lot in the nickel, which is really interesting. Like, he plays with a bit of an edge. I appreciate not the flashiest tape, and I think he's a bit of a tight athlete. But again, the versatility is really nice to me, and he shows some flashes of, like, being really competent in man coverage.
See, I just didn't think he was a good enough athlete.
He might not.
You mentioned that kind of tight. I thought, yeah, he didn't have a ton of fluidity to his hips. I did appreciate that he came down and played some nickel, but yeah, just. I don't know. I didn't see enough athleticism there, and I thought he was just kind of a technical mess.
Fair enough. Yeah, but he definitely was the highest build of the group, and a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, my highest is the Boise State guy.
Okay, I got a draftable. He's so weird. I don't know.
Kakawa, if he's really a draftable player. Kaniho?
Yeah.
Kakalua? Okay. I don't know. I can't see.
Kakalu?
He's actually a nickel.
He is a nickel. He's 5'10", 185.
I like him as a flats defender. I think he's competent in zone. He's got good zone instincts playing low flats.
Yeah.
Playing low zones, right, in the flats. And I think he's an aggressive physical tackler. He plays much bigger than he's listed. I don't know. I thought he could be kind of used as one of those kind of weaponized nickels where you're doing a lot of fun things with them.
No, exactly. I got the exact same vibe from him. Like, it was kind of like he used as a nickel and like a bit of an overhang type. Like you said, aggressive as hell coming down. He plays with a lot of intensity. He's a good tackler. I don't know how fast he is, but he plays really fast. I don't know. And then like there's coverage isn't great, but there's a couple flashes of it. And I don't know. To me, he's just really fun. He's interesting. No, and like you said, just finding a – like I think he could play one of those cool defensive weapon roles. So I slapped the old draft pool grade on him. Seventh, baby.
Hell yeah. Okay. Before we go, you want to pick your MAC offensive and defense player of the year, and then Mountain West offensive player and defense player of the year?
Oh yeah, I forgot that. That's how we're doing it. But I'm just gonna go. This doesn't matter. It works out for me. Offense, Jared Patterson, who I think is the best player. Defense, Malcolm Kuntz. I think he's gonna take that leap. Yeah, baby.
I picked them both as well for the MAC. I mean, it feels like Jared Patterson's probably the favorite in the MAC anyway. Kuntz, I think he had 8 sacks last year. Nine, whatever. The way he showed up against Penn State, especially, that's the best team they played, and he was putting a ton of pressure on.
He was. Who's your championship pick?
For the MAC, I've got Buffalo over Toledo.
Okay, so I got Buffalo too. I think they're kind of the clear team. Like,
it's them or Miami of rushers? It's Buffalo or Miami of Ohio in the East.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's one of those two to win it. Yes. In the West, I gave it to Central Michigan. I just think they're kind of like not a lot of guys that we talked about, obviously, but I think they're just kind of the most well-run program at this point.
I think it was between them and Toledo. I love Jason Candle, I think.
I know.
I think he's one of the best MAC coaches, so I just lean them. But I think CMU or Toledo in the West for sure.
Yeah.
Mountain West, offense player and defense player of the year.
I just did my top prospects, baby. Trey Walker, maybe not the offense player of the year, but he's making the leap. I think he's the best guy we watched today.
Yeah.
Nick Stargill's going to come in and light it up with him. And then on defense, Dom Peterson.
Yeah, so
I want to see that. I want to see him make that huge leap. Like, sorry, he doesn't even need to. He had 9 sacks last year, but like, I think he's going to keep getting better.
Yeah, I picked them both as well. I'm realistically, it's probably pretty hard for Trey Walker to win offensive player of the year in the Mountain West. Yeah, I think Valaday's the smart choice, the Wyoming running back.
Yeah.
Crum's also an interesting one for the MAC offensive player here.
I think those are like that's the race, and I guess in the Mountain West you can kind of pick your quarterback. Like Bachmeier's probably in the play there.
Yeah,
too.
Someone on Boise State either side of the ball for either. But yeah, I think Tom Peterson should probably be the favorite for defensive player, right? Like Curtis Weaver is gone. Peterson's the best returning player on defense in that conference.
Yeah, no, exactly. I agree. Championship.
I want Boise State over Nevada.
Oh, me too. I didn't think we were going to have the same one. I believe in Nevada big.
You sold me on Carson Strong. That's why I was like, I don't know who to pick. I like Elijah Cooks a little bit. I love Don Peterson. AG's always talking about Carson Strong. Fuck it. Plus, well coached.
Yeah, exactly. I think Boise, it's kind of like Buffalo. I think those two are the locks. Yeah. But. I mean, I shouldn't say that. These conferences are kind of wacky, except for Boise is always consistent. But the MAC's always so fucking wacky. Anyways, Nevada's, yeah, both of our surprise picks, baby.
Hell yeah. Nevada also kind of swag.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that program.
I like Wolves.
Hey, guess what, Rob?
What?
City of the week for the Mountain West? It's Reno, baby.
Reno. It was always Reno, though. It was never not.
It was always Reno. Known as the biggest little city in the world, which, of course, is complete nonsense. A couple fun facts about Reno I learned this week. Between the 1930s to the 1970s, it was essentially the divorce capital of America.
Oh, that makes me want to live there.
They had loose divorce laws, and apparently there's like an old play that just... They referenced, like, some lady said, I'm taking my husband to Reno, and it just meant they're getting divorced.
I start saying that.
I know, it's good. Of course, everyone thinks of Reno as that crappy version of Vegas. But Reno was the capital of gambling in the United States before Vegas, and they incidentally got fucked over by Vegas, which you could probably blame the mafia on or something. Who knows? I still believe in Reno. I still love Reno, even though it's kind of nonsense, but I love it. Go Reno, go Wolfpack. Let's do it.
Okay. For me, I get to pick the MAC city of the week. And I mean, come on. It was obviously always going to be Buffalo. I love Buffalo. Go Bulls. Have I seen Buffalo play live? They were at the International Bowl 1 year, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I was at that game. I remember. I don't know if you were.
I think I was. I'm going to say I was. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Drew Willie, Namon Roosevelt, and James Starks. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who did they play that year? I can't remember.
I don't know, but they lost. Did they play Rutgers?
Maybe. There was a lot of Buffalo fans. The Buffalo crowd came out pretty good.
I think it was Rutgers-Buffalo, and Red Rice ran for like 230 yards. Anyway.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I didn't Google as much as AJ did, so here are some notable people from Buffalo. Obviously, Tim Russert. Mark Twain.
What? There's no way that's true.
I don't know. Listen, you know me. If Wikipedia lists it, I believe it. Although
Buffalo played UConn.
Donald Brown game. Okay.
Who also probably, I think he ran for like 200
years. Yeah, he did. I think he had more than Ray. also from Buffalo, the Goo Goo Dolls, obviously. Johnny Flynn.
I actually didn't know that.
The Gronkowski family.
Yep.
And an emo band that I know called Cute Is What We Aim For.
I don't know if this is a thing, I guess, not across America or anything. But in Southern Ontario, we get the Buffalo News. Sick. And it's always extremely entertaining.
So good.
It's so entertaining.
I love Buffalo.
That's my plug of the week, is to watch the Buffalo News sometimes.
So good. And then a couple of notable University of Buffalo alumni. Here we go. Wolf Blitzer from CNN.
Really? I didn't know that.
I was shocked. I was like, but he's from there too, so I'm guessing that's why. Like, I think he just did his undergrad there probably.
Is Wolf Blitzer his real name? I've always wanted to know, but never checked.
Yeah, I didn't check. I just choose.
I'll do it right now.
Okay.
Tell me more, Rob.
Winston Duke, Buffalo alumni.
Interesting.
The actor. Of course, Ronnie James Dio. and then two lame football ones, Matt Rhule and Khalil Mack.
Lame. Wolf Blitzer is his real name. He was born in West Germany as Wolf Isaac Blitzer. Knowing that he's German makes that name make a lot more sense.
I just assumed he was German. I don't know what you were doing.
No, I assumed it was just a made-up television name, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like all the fucking the meteorologists, Storm Chaser or whatever the fuck.
What?
Like meteorologists, they always make up some fake name.
Who?
Meteorologist Storm Johnson, or is that a running back from UCF?
That's a running back from UCF, Miami transfer. Anyway, now enjoy my interview with Miami of Ohio left tackle Tommy Doyle. I'm here with Miami of Ohio first team All MAC left tackle Tommy Doyle. How are you doing today, Tommy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Let's just jump right into it. Obviously, it's strange times in college football with COVID-19 going on. What's training been like for you the last couple months?
Yeah, it's definitely been weird. We're able to be back on campus at school, though, for football. So we're still getting all of our training in. We kind of have to follow protocol. We have to be 6 feet apart. we have to wear a mask kind of in and out of the facility. We're not really using our locker rooms, but we're still able to get all of our workouts in, and just a little bit different, I guess.
And so with both your parents playing varsity sports at the University of Minnesota, what was it like growing up the son of two collegiate athletes?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun for me. They always introduced me to a lot of different sports, you know. They never really put pressure on me to play any certain sport, but it was definitely awesome having them as parents.
And so did you play multiple sports in high school then?
Yeah, I actually played hockey in high school. So I'm from Minnesota. I went to Edina High School, and it seems like in Minnesota growing up, you know, everyone pretty much plays hockey and knows how to skate. So I was a sophomore in high school. I thought that was kind of my main focus.
Oh, okay.
And then everything kind of shifted once I realized, you know, where I was with football and how much I love football, and I kind of switched my focus in my junior year in high school, and it was kind of all football from there.
And so what was your recruitment like coming out of Minnesota?
My recruitment was good. I didn't have a ton of power. I didn't really have any big Power 5 offers. Basically the whole entire MAC kind of I had offers from. I had a couple bigger schools who wanted me to walk on. But at the end of the day, I decided to come here to Miami of Ohio. I love the campus here. I love the business school here. And the coaching staff was awesome, so I was kind of just sold.
You're one of the biggest senior offensive tackles in college football in terms of size. Were you always a bigger guy growing up? And, like, was offensive line always kind of your main position, I guess?
No, actually not at all. When I came, so I played defensive end in high school primarily. So I started to get recruited to be an offensive lineman. So I kind of started to realize my senior year in high school that was probably a position that'd be best for me in college. And I kind of embraced that. And when I got here to Miami, Ohio, it was just kind of a huge learning experience for me, learning how to play offensive line. Thankfully, I had Coach Barnett here who kind of mentored me and taught me all the fundamentals I needed to know, and I just kind of went from there. But I think when I got to Miami, I was 6'7", 265 pounds maybe, and now I'm like 6'8". I'm like right around 335 pounds right now, so I've definitely gotten bigger.
And obviously, you play for the reigning MAC champs, and I don't know if you know this, but MACtion is pretty much beloved by all football fans. Obviously, with the weeknight games, Twitter goes off during those games. So what's it like to play a weekday night game with kind of the world watching you?
MACtion, it's awesome. It's definitely interesting, you know, because you're playing a game right in the middle of the week, right when you're supposed to be, right when you have classes and exams. So it could be kind of a grind, actually, to play those MACtion games. But it is a lot of fun to be able to, you know, get that exposure and that time on TV. So it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
I think the best MACtion games from a viewer standpoint tend to be when the weather's kind of gross, it's kind of snowy at times, and you're, like you said, you're from Minnesota, you play in Ohio. Do you prefer to play in bad weather games, or is that just kind of a pain in the ass?
No, I've always liked colder games. I feel like, I honestly feel like it kind of gives me a little advantage because I don't mind it as much as other guys do. But yeah, I'm used to the cold, man. It gets cold up there in Minnesota.
And you guys shocked the world a little bit last year, winning the MAC. You guys were, I think you were underdogs in 6 of 8 MAC games, still end up winning the MAC. So what's the team goal this year, and do you have any individual goals?
I think the team goal is get back there again and go back to back. That's the goal. That's what we're shooting for. But we always seem to be the underdogs, you know. No one's given the Red Hawks enough respect, but I guess they're gonna find out again next year, so.
I love it. And do you have any individual goals? I mean, obviously you were all MAC last season. I imagine that's probably a goal once again. Do you have any goals maybe to earn an invite to whether it be the Senior Bowl, the East-West Shrine Game, one of those type of post college football season All-Star games?
I think that's every player's goal, you know, but I just kind of focus on day to day, getting better every day, mm-hmm. controlling what I can control, and I think those things will kind of just align themselves. So,
and as a sophomore, you started at right tackle, and then you moved to starting left tackle last season. Is that a difficult transition? Do you find one side more comfortable than the other?
Well, the good part for me was when I got to college, I didn't have any bad habits or anything, so I'd never played offensive line before. So I don't really mind playing either right or left. Definitely kind of a transition, switching from right to left. Took me, you know, a couple of months, I'd say, to really get, like, my pass sets down, feeling good where I wanted them to. But now I feel pretty confident, you know, switching both ways, so.
Yeah, no, from an NFL standpoint, that's a big bonus to know a guy has experience on both sides.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you style your game after anyone, or is there any specific NFL offensive lineman you watch?
I really like Trent Williams. Mm-hmm. I think he's just a big freak athlete. He plays really hard, too. I always liked watching Taylor Lewan, Bakhtiari sometimes. I think Tyron Smith, I believe it is, the Cowboys left tackle. Yeah. He's a technician, too. He's fun to watch, but I don't really style my game after any of those guys. It's like to pick up little things from them or something.
In the MAC has kind of quietly been a bit of a NFL offensive line pipeline, like guys like Eric Fisher, Brandon Brooks, Max Sharping two drafts ago, and a handful of other guys. Do you think your best, obviously the goal is the NFL, and do you see any specific trait in your game that would stand out to NFL scouts?
I think for my size, my ability to move and get to the point, is really good. I think I'm really physical. I'm willing to finish blocks. If I played against, I was able to play against Iowa, I was able to play against Cincinnati, some good, better DNs, which was awesome to do too. And, I think the big thing for me is just, and get improving every year, you know. Never played offensive line before till college, and just every year I'm just trying to take another step, just focus on, you know, being in the now and getting better every year. So hopefully next year I just make another jump. That's the goal, and play even better.
Yeah, it's a great attitude to have. And I after watching a couple of your games, I noticed you do bring that sort of tone-setting edge to the game, especially in the run game. You're consistently climbing up the linebackers, kind of ripping open holes. I think it was the Ball State game. You were just hammering linebackers. Do you think about, I guess, what's the mentality in game? Are you playing kind of pissed off, or is it just pure focus?
I think definitely you're playing a little pissed off. I like to play with an attitude, you know. I like to get in guys' faces. I've never been afraid of putting my head down into some work, so that's just kind of who I am. And yeah.
All right. Before I let you go, we like to do this thing called 7 rounds of rapid fire. I'm just going to give you 7 quick questions. you answer rapid fire if you can, and then I'll let you go.
All right, awesome.
All right. Number one, is there a reason you wear number 54?
No, not at all.
Number two, who's your all-time favorite athlete?
Brett Favre.
Ooh, good answer. What's your favorite lift in the weight room?
I gotta go with the bench press.
Hell yeah. What's your go-to pump-up song?
Oh, I'm not much of a pump-up song guy. I actually like to, maybe like to listen to a little John Mayer and kind of chill it out before the game.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then it's, yeah.
What's your go-to cheat meal?
I think I gotta go with Chick-fil-A.
What's your number one video game right now?
I'm not much of a gamer, actually.
Okay, okay.
I really like NHL. NHL, that's a good one.
All right, well, that leads into the final question. I'm actually Canadian, so I like to ask people, what's your favorite thing about Canada, if you have one?
I mean, I love Canada. First of all, hockey's got to be one of them.
Hell yeah.
You know, the Nelk boys are from Canada, too. You know, a lot of good people from Canada.
I appreciate that one. Good answer. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Tommy. And I hope you have a great season. I hope you guys are back in the MAC championship. And good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.